just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state, then we'll sweep through heaven's, we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gate. What a beautiful song, and that's why we're all here. We're here because we have heaven as our goal, and we know this world is not going to last, and we're going to head toward the judgment day, and after that we'll have eternity. And so our desire is to be in eternity with our Heavenly Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ, with the mighty angels and all the heavenly host. We look forward to that day, and I want to just continue to encourage you to be faithful, to be loyal to the Lord, and to be dedicated to Him as we're doing here in this place. Now, today we want to look at this passage that has been read, and in particular, if you have your Bibles open, we want to look in particular at Philippians 1 and verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation. You ever had an earnest expectation? I'm sure you have. As a kid, you had an earnest expectation of Christmas or something of that nature. And he says, my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's mentioned three times in this passage that he was in bonds. He was a prisoner. He had chains, and he was not going to be ashamed, but with all boldness. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to be a bold person. That's what Christians ought to be. We are to be bold. Now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now we want to talk today about magnifying Christ in our bodies. Magnifying Christ. What does that mean? What does magnification mean? Well, have you ever looked through a magnifying glass? The print stays the same. The print on the page doesn't change size. But you're looking at it and your perception of it is enhanced. What does it mean to magnify Christ in our bodies? We want to enhance Christ in this world. I'm telling you, the devil is enhancing the darkness in this world. The devil is enhancing what he wants to enhance. And we want to enhance Christ. We want to enlarge Christ. We want to make him bigger. We want to make people know that Christ exists in our lives. Whether we live or whether we die, we want to magnify Christ. And you know, we can do that. We certainly can. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, I want to add another thought to that one. That is Galatians 2 and 20. You may know this passage by heart. There's a song, a little song about this verse, Galatians 2 and 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Well, I'm dead. Crucified means you're dead. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm still alive. I've been put to death, but I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's really magnifying Christ, is letting Christ live in you and living the life that Christ taught by faith. So we're living in a dark world. We're living in a world that's getting darker and darker. Sin is growing. It's increasing. And we want to be a light in this world. You know, if you lit a candle today, right now, with all these, I don't know how many, there's probably a couple of dozen light fixtures in here. You had a candle with all these lights in here, the candle wouldn't be very bright. But you turn all the lights out and you let there be darkness, and then the candle really stands out, doesn't it? That's what we want to be. We want to be lights in this world. We want Christ to be shining forth from our life. And we want to be demonstrating Christ, hey, to our families. We want to be demonstrating Christ in a dark world to our families. We want to be presenting Christ and magnifying Christ as a Christian of this congregation, at our workplace, at school. We don't want to fade into the darkness. We want to stand out as examples and have light, Christ living in us. We want to demonstrate Christ in our lives. Well, how do we do that? That's what we want to talk about today. How can we magnify Christ? How can we enhance Him in this world? We can do so by demonstrating His love. I mean, if you're not going to love, you cannot be a Christian. Because Christ is, that's what He is. God is love. Christ is God, and therefore Christ is love. And so he's a loving person. I like what Peter preached to the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 38. He preached the Christ that went about doing good, went everywhere doing good. What does love do? It goes around doing good. What does a non-Christian do? Well, he goes around doing maybe good, maybe bad too. Though he's doing bad, he's doing good. No, we go around doing good. We're like Christ. And so we are to demonstrate love. Now in John 13, Jesus demonstrated love. And he wants us to demonstrate that same love. In John 13, the disciples were sitting around the Passover supper table. And they were kind of arrogant. Bible tells us in Luke 23, they were trying to see who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. That was part of their problem during those developmental years, is who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And at that point, now Christ couldn't allow the church to start like that, where the disciples are kind of eyeballing one another. Hey, am I going to be greater than you? Are you going to be greater than me? That's what was going on that night. And that's why Jesus washed their feet. And then he said at the end of the washing of the feet, in John 13, did I say John 11? I mean John 13, 34 and 35. Here's what he said. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know how to magnify Christ? Is by loving our brethren, loving this body of people here. And then he goes on to say in verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How is that magnifying Christ when we're loving one another? Jesus said, by this men will know you're my disciples. You'll be magnifying Christ by loving one another as I have loved you. Now that's very important. As a congregation of God's people, we're here. We're here to love one another, to demonstrate that love for one another. People need to see that. Your children need to see that in your life. Your children need to see you having a loving, caring attitude and demonstration toward others. It's a practice. It's what Christ practiced. You know, Jesus loved the church so much, the Bible says that He gave Himself for it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And so that's the kind of love that husbands are to have for their wives. And so they'll see Christ in your life if you have love in your life. If you're void of this love, and in our world sometimes just pathetic, the news media, I hate to get on this, but they're enhancing hate and division. Now, we're not to go in that direction. Our world is becoming a hateful place, a place where people are mean and ugly. And that's not what love is. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is good and kind and patient, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So demonstrate love to your enemies. Christ prayed for His enemies. He taught us to pray for our enemies. Christ loved His enemies. He loved the disciples. He loved strangers. He told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he said, which one of these loved his neighbor? And they said, well, that last guy, the Samaritan. Well, the Samaritan was a guy that the Jews didn't like, and he just met a stranger on the road that was injured and wounded. And so this Samaritan helped a Jewish man out. The Jewish man didn't particularly historically like him, but he helped him anyway. That's love. We're to love our enemies. We're to love our brethren. We're to love the Lord. We're to love the Bible. Oh, how love I thy law, the psalmist said in Psalm 119. We need to love everything. Demonstrate love in your life. Number two, how can I magnify Christ in my life? Turn to Luke chapter 2. And I want the young people to turn to this too. Luke 2. How can I magnify Christ in my life? By doing what Jesus did. By loving the way He loved. But in Luke chapter 2, notice verse 51. This was Jesus when He was 12 years old. And He, Jesus, went down with them, that's Joseph and Mary, and came to Nazareth, 12 years old, and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Christ was a 12-year-old boy. And what was He? Obedient. He was subject to His mother and His father. Young people here can be magnifying Christ in their life by being obedient to their mother and their father. Not rebellious. I know kids at your school may be telling you, don't do that with your parents. You tell them you're going to do this. They're giving you the wrong counsel. That's not the counsel. You know, we are Christians. You know what Christian means? Christ. That's part of the word. That's Christ. The Christian is a Christ person. What does a Christ person do? A Christ person loves. He loves the brethren. He loves his enemies. He loves his neighbors. And a Christ person is obedient. He's obedient to his parents. I want us to look at John 4, because here we find that Christ said something very important. This John 4 was the woman at the well. You know, she was an ungodly woman. She had had five husbands. And she was an ungodly woman. But you know what Christ was doing with her? He was trying to save her soul. He's trying to save her. How can I magnify Christ in my life? We can do what Christ did. We can try to save souls. But notice what He says in John 4, in verse number 34. Jesus said unto them, they was wondering, why is He talking to that woman? Jesus said unto them, my meat. You know what meat is? Meat's food. It's like a sandwich. It's like a piece of bread and some meat. It's or some fish or something like that. My meat. What is your meat? Well, that's how I live. I live on meat. I live on food. And so Jesus says, my meat, my food, what I live by is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. How do we magnify Christ? By being obedient. By being submissive to God. Submissive to your parents. Being obedient is what Christ did. And notice that my meat, what I live by, what I'm living on, what I'm driven to do is what? Is do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And that's really what we need to be doing. We need to be doing the same thing Christ did. We need to be obedient to the Father. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, I'm not going to do what God said right there. I don't like that part. That's not being like Christ. That's being rebellious. And if you're rebellious against your parents, then you're not living like Christ did either. Philippians 2 says that He was obedient unto death. What kind of death? Did He drink some poison? Did He get run over by, He drowned somewhere? No, He was obedient unto death. Yea, the death of the cross. Christ was obedient to do everything that the Father said to do. Now, if we want to magnify Christ in our lives, we need to be obedient like Christ was obedient and obey all of God's will. What kind of an example would that be to your children? Mom and Dad, we're going to do this? No, we're not doing that. God wants us. His Word teaches us to do this. Children, we're going to do this. Yeah, but everybody else is doing that. No, we're doing this. We're going to be obedient like Jesus Christ was obedient. Even if it's hard. He was obedient unto death. What kind of death? Did He drown? Did He do something that didn't take any energy? No. Even of the cross, the death of the cross, that was hard. And so Christ obeyed when it was hard to obey. And so if we want to demonstrate Christ, let us demonstrate Him that way, by loving people and by being obedient to God. But also, let us be very prayerful. I think you're prayerful people. I believe you are prayerful. But we need to pray all the time. Let's look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. That Christ was a praying man. You know, He was God. He was the Son of God. He was God Himself. He was God in the flesh. That's what incarnation means. The word incarnation means deity became, took on flesh. That only applies to Christ. He's the only one that ever did that. And so even though He was God in the flesh, you know what? He needed to pray. Look at Luke 3 and verse 21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, praying, the heaven was opened." You know, He prayed at His baptism. Isn't that wonderful? Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus was a praying man. Verse 16 says, "And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed." Remember Jesus said, "Go into your closet, isolate yourself, go in your closet." You know, when He went into the wilderness, He did the very thing that He was teaching people to do. He got isolated. He got away from everyone. And that's what He did, and that's what we ought to do. You want to magnify Christ in your life, pray in your home. You know, sometimes your kid may come in the room, and guess what? Dad or mom's praying to themselves. You magnifying Christ to that child's life. We need to be praying, reading our Bibles. You're magnifying Christ in your home to those most important and closest to you. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. "And it came to pass in those days He went out into a mountain to pray." Look at this. "And continued all night in prayer to God." Wow. Have you ever tried to pray all night? My prayers can't last that long. I kind of run out of information to pray about. But what a prayerful man he was. Prayed all night long. He believed in prayer. You and I need to believe in prayer. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. That's what Jesus was. He was a man who prayed without ceasing. He believed in prayer. And so we need to be praying. You go to a restaurant, pray for your food. You're with somebody who's not a Christian, say, "Hey, do you mind if I have a prayer for my food here and give thanks to God? Do you mind if I do that?" You're magnifying Christ. You're making Christ known to people. You're making it known that you're a Christian. You follow Christ. You're a Christ person. What does a Christ person do? Well, they do what Christ did. What did Christ do? Well, He prayed. He prayed and He gave thanks for things and gave thanks for His food. But another thing that we'll do is we demonstrate Christ. And we really need to concentrate on this, and that is we'll be humble. Look at Matthew 11. And this is that great invitation. When we give this invitation, we're giving it on behalf of Christ. This is not my invitation. This is the invitation of Christ. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if there's anyone here who is heavy laden and laboring and heavy laden, you know, Christ is offering you a wonderful blessing. And that blessing is rest. I'll give you rest. But notice verse 29, "And take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." Well, what do we learn, Lord? "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Learn of Christ, and what will you learn? Meek and lowly, meek and lowly. He's under control, and He's very humble, and He's very lowly. When Jesus was asked this question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God?" He got a little bitty child, like one of these little children here. And He put Him over there in the midst of them and says, "Except you humble yourself and become as this little child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God." We need to be humble. Now let's read a verse together from the book of James. Turn to James chapter 4. As we talk about it, magnifying Christ in our world, magnifying Christ in the workplace, at school, in our homes, we need to be humble like Jesus. Humility is a very wonderful thing. Look at James 4 and verse 6. but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. You know, when I read that, I say, man, I never want to be proud, have pride in my heart. Why? Because God resists you. I don't want God resisting me. Well, what should I do then? James 4 and 6, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, that's what I want. I don't want him resisting me. I want him lifting me up. Well, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. The Lord loves a humble heart. And so to magnify Christ in this world, we need to be like Christ. We need to love like Christ. We need to have the heart of Christ. Be obedient like Christ was obedient. Pray like Christ prayed. And don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray. And be humble like Christ was humble. But let's also be sure that we are forgiving. Christ was a very forgiving man. Look at Luke chapter 5. And we all know how humble he and how forgiving he was. But we need to be that way too. Our world is a world of grudges and get even and I'm going to hate you and I'm going to be spiteful toward you. Well, that's not what Christ was. Christ wasn't that way. You know, a person, you know who's happy in this world? It's not the person who has a grudge. He's not happy. It's not the person who hates. That's not a happy person. The happy person is the one who loves, the one who prays, the one who is humble. God is giving us the formula for happiness. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Well, how's he going to give us rest? Will you be a loving person, not hateful? Hatefulness makes us miserable. Forgiveness refreshes us. In Luke 5 and verse number 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. We serve a God, fortunately, and so thankfully that he'll forgive you. You know, if you sin today and you ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. If you sin tomorrow, and I'm not encouraging you to sin tomorrow. I'm not encouraging anybody to sin because sin separates us from God. But he will keep on forgiving. Do you know that? God will keep on forgiving. Now, don't sin because sin hardens our heart. I'm not encouraging anyone to sin. I'm just saying that God will forgive us. He's so forgiving. He's a forgiving God. And we're thankful for that. Look at Luke 6 and verse number 12, the very next chapter. And it came to pass in those days that when he went out into a mountain to pray. Oh, we already read that. I'm sorry. That's the previous point there. But Christ, later on in this chapter, when they were driving the nails in his hands and his feet, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, what is a Christ person? What does a Christian do? A Christian is a forgiving person. And God's going to take care of the score. The Lord says in Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to get even with anybody. You don't have to get even with anyone. You're here to forgive and to be like that. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. I want to read a couple of my favorite verses here in this book of Ephesians 4. We've read them before. But here's the child of God right here. This is how you magnify Christ in this world. You don't become a bitter person, a hateful person, a grudging person. That's not a Christian. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness come unto me. I'll give you rest. How are you going to give me rest? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of that from your life. And then do what verse 32 says. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we're to be a kind people, a forgiving people. We're to demonstrate that forgiveness. Don't be mean. Don't be hateful and bitter and a grudge holder. That's not the formula for happiness. That's the formula for misery. And that's what Christ has done. And then, of course, there are many, many others. But one of the things that we need to touch on is, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. We'll read this verse. And we're going to have to close our lesson out. But I hope you get the idea. Read your Bible. Do what Christ did. There's much more to this. But in Matthew 8 and verse 20, well, let's read verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said to him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Christ left heaven. He's a person who denies himself. He left the glories of heaven to come to this earth, sleep on the ground, sleep wherever he could. I don't have a place to live. Jesus was rich in heaven, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He was a person who denied himself. What do Christians do? They live like Christ. And whatever it takes, we do what the Lord says. Well, what if it means your life? We'll do it anyway. We'll do it. We'll sacrifice ourselves. That's what they did in the New Testament. You read about people being killed in the New Testament. They followed Christ. And this is the most rewarding life that you can ever live on this earth, what we've been talking about. Being a loving person, being a prayerful person, being a humble person. Being a person who goes about doing good, being a forgiving person, this is the greatest life that there is to live. The opposite is the most miserable life, being hateful and spiteful and unforgiving and unkind. That's a miserable life. Being proud. Proud people are not happy. They're not happy. Living the Christian life is what we want to do. And we want to magnify Christ in this world. We sing a song that says, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." And then at the end it says, "I surrender all." And that's really what it takes to be a Christian, is surrendering your entire life to let Him live in you. Let us give every effort to magnify Him, every effort to let Him live in us. Let His morals be our morals. Let His values be our values. His attitude's our attitude. What He did is what we do. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That should be our will. And we are to deny ourselves and magnify Christ in our homes, in this congregation, in our communities. Let's live like Christ. Our world needs it, don't you think? I think our world needs more Christians, more people doing what Christ did. I know we need it in our homes. I need it in my home. We don't need to be too proud people, you know, like two banty roosters. We don't need to be like two banty roosters hitting one another and bumping. "I'm getting my way. No, I'm getting my way." No. I said this. That's what happens. If Christ was in your home, He wouldn't be doing that. He wouldn't be doing that. He'd say, "Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead of me." That's what Christ did. He suffered for us on the cross. We've got to end this lesson now, but let's live like Christ. Let's be like Him. Let's magnify Him in this world. Are you doing that? That's really the question now. Are you doing it? Are you loving like He loved, praying like He prayed, being humble like He humbled, denying yourself? Are you doing that? If you're not, come forward today and be restored to the Lord. If you've never obeyed the gospel, Jesus said it as plain as it could be said. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and 16. It's as clear as that. If you've never obeyed the gospel, do so today while we stand and we sing.